Praise the Lord. Very good to see you this morning. Amen. I hope that... how many were here yesterday? Okay, good. Praise God. Just about everybody. I hope that you have been thinking about and chewing on what we were sharing with you yesterday. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to go into some of the how-to. We believe that God has a plan for man. We believe that God wants to do more than just save a man's soul. In fact, if you were to turn to John 3:16, you will find that, John the third chapter, it's not 16th verse. You will find that a man receiving Jesus Christ is basically one of the first steps in the development of his personality in God. If you have your Bibles, you might want to open into John chapter 3. Hallelujah. I'm going to draw... Oh, it's already up there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't like black, so in this respect... Praise the Lord. Because we are talking about life. Hallelujah. This is called the Tabernacle of Moses. They call it that because God gave him the plan and he was the one that wrote it down. Praise the Lord. Brother John, it's good to see you. Amen. And it is a detailed diagram of the total plan of God for mankind from start to finish. Do you know what a blueprint is? When an architect designs a building, and in the designing of the building, he has what they call a blueprint. Hallelujah. And this is God's blueprint. Everything about it is in your Bible from start to finish. And anything that is in the Bible, you will find in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. It's all written in symbolic form. It's like God hid the mystery of salvation. And I suppose one of the reasons why he did that, because in most cases, without a divine revelation from God, you might not take it as anything of any consequence. Hallelujah. So basically, with the interpretation of the Bible or the translation of the Bible, they basically left it intact as it was. They didn't change it. Now, one of the things that some of the newer Bibles do, I don't know how your Bible handles it. But the measurements of the tabernacle were all done in cubits. Isn't that right? Cubit. It didn't sound right. It was a measurement that God... roughly saying it's from elbow to... But it would depend on the length of your arm, I suppose. I don't know that Moses had anything more definite. But what I do know... is you can't change it to feet in inches or into metrics. Are you into anything else? Because numbers in the Bible are very significant. And I'm kind of giving you a key on how to read your Bible. Because I personally believe that the Bible was given to us by divine supervision. Hallelujah. It is not that there aren't some mistakes in it. But the mistakes in the Bible, especially with regards to the King James, I don't know about your Bible. The mistakes are inconsequential. And can be clarified if you go back to the original language. Hallelujah. So I believe that the Bible, and I am sure yours also, as it was being interpreted, or however it was interpreted, had the hand of God upon it. I think God took a personal interest in it, personally. Hallelujah. And in the Hebrew, as well as in the Greek, a language was not only an alphabetical language, for language, but it was also a numerical system. And each number or each letter had a specific numeric value. Not only that, but many of the things that are written in the Bible as far as numbers are concerned are symbolic. And their symbolism goes back to the Hebrew and the Greek language. One is indicative of God. Two is the number of witness. Three is the number of fullness. Four is the number of tribulation. And you can go into your Bible and find these numbers in different types of situations. Hallelujah. Ten is the number of law, Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. The Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. It's the fullness of tribulation and the totality of what the law can work. Praise the Lord. So numbers have a specific value as far as God is concerned. And one of the first things that we know about the tabernacle is its dimensional quality. It was 100 cubits long. It was 50 cubits. Okay, this is times two, okay? Hallelujah. Which gives us an equal amount of 300. Does anybody know what 300 is representative of in the scripture? Where do you find the number 300? Who?
Gideon.
And what did Gideon do? Huh? Hallelujah. Gideon, right?
Yep.
Hallelujah. What did Gideon do? Gideon saved Israel. Gideon saved Israel. Do you remember the story of Gideon? Hallelujah. They started out with a big host of people. There was lots of people really reared up and revving to go to help save Israel. But not all of them were qualified. But not all of them were really wanting to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first thing that God did was to give those who did not want to participate an opportunity to go home. Hallelujah. And a bunch of them packed up and left. The next thing he did was he told Joshua to bring him down to the stream. Huh?
Gideon.
Sorry. Right job, wrong man. Hallelujah. The next thing that God told Gideon to do, because he said the people are yet too many. There were 10,000 of them. The number 10,000 was less than the number of the enemy that they were going against. But the number was, as far as God was concerned, still too big. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, bring him down to the water. And those that drink in such and such a manner, send them home. But those that drink in such and such a manner, those are the ones I want to use to deliver Israel. Now, there's many different things about this story that should encourage you and I. One of the reasons that God did that is because he said, least Israel boast that they had conquered the enemy by their own strength. Hallelujah. That means that God wanted to make absolutely sure that it would be impossible for a physical Israel to overcome the enemy. Did you hear me? God wanted to be sure that it would be impossible. Hallelujah. And this just gives us an insight to the wisdom of God. But it also should encourage you and I concerning the task of overcoming. Because really, quite frankly, it is impossible for you or I to overcome the devil. It's impossible. The devil is greater, stronger, wiser, more spiritual, has more at his disposal. It is an impossibility. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For God, for us to overcome the devil. Hallelujah. And you know, the devil knew that when he was watching God make man. And I can just hear the mind of devil working and thinking that is going to overcome me. Huh? Hallelujah. That is really going to put me down. You see, it says in the Bible, you and I are created a little lower than the angel. That means the substance of which we are made is of less value, of less strength than what the devil has as his composite makeup of his being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And yet God was going to use man in that condition, in that place, to overcome and overthrow the devil. Hallelujah. You know, some of our situations seem impossible. We look at it in the natural, and it's just overwhelming. We try to do better, or we try to get beyond, or we try to get up and above that situation. And the situation always seems to overcome us. And we always seemingly find ourselves back in the same condition or in the same place. Hallelujah. And one of the reasons for that is that you and I, as Christians, are not aware of the position of power and authority that we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if that isn't enough, it says in one of the books of Corinthians, it's either first or second book, I'm not sure. First or second chapter, I'm not sure. But it says that God uses the foolish things to confound the wisdom of this world.
Corinthians 1:26.
Very good. Thank you, dear. Yes. Yes. Amen. And that foolishness that he is speaking about is the thing that is in us. We are the foolish thing. We are the helpless thing. Bible says that when we are weak, he is strong. When we are pressed down, we are not forsaken. When we are overwhelmed or overrun, we are not destroyed. Hallelujah. Now all of this has to do with this and this. Hallelujah. There is a revelation. Now revelation is something of a knowledge that God gives to you as an individual. And when he gives you that knowledge, there is an understanding that comes to you that says, oh yes, I am now, I see it. Hallelujah. But the revelation that God is wanting to bring to you in this hour, hallelujah, is not just a knowledge. What God wants to bring you is the means by which you might be able to overcome in your situation. In the past, we have been taught in the church that if you are in an economic crisis, hallelujah, you should pray for prosperity. If you you are sick, then you should pray for healing. I tell you that if you are sick, you should pray for the presence of God. And if God wants to heal you, that is God's business. But what you should not do is allow your sickness or your situation of poverty rob you of the presence of God. Now, what do I mean by rob you? Hallelujah. You go to bed at night with a fever. You wake up in the morning, you have the same fever. You pray. You go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning with the same fever. Hallelujah. And if you are like most human beings, you will say, God, why didn't you heal me? Hallelujah. And any time we question God with the why word,
why?
It is because we do not know God. If we knew God, then we would know that in His timing, He will bring what I need. Let me tell you a little story. There was a woman, and I believe she was a woman in Hungary, in Europe, and she was paralyzed. The only thing she had use of was her little bit of movement in her hands, her two fingers, and I believe her head, her neck, in some form or fashion. And it was during the communist times. And of course, serving or associating with God was a criminal offense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were not allowed to have state churches. God was a forbidden word. Hallelujah. But this woman and her husband were Christians. And they wanted to do what they could do to promote and to worship and to serve God. So they got an old typewriter and they would set the typewriter, she would be in her bed, they would set the typewriter on her chest, and with her two fingers she would type out little scripture verses. Sometimes she would get as much as a chapter done before tiring, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out. And you can imagine, you can imagine she would probably be somewhat discouraged at times. Hallelujah. Her discouragement was not so much with her condition as it was with the fact that she felt like she was doing so little and she desired to do more. And of course the husband at the same time, she would be totally and absolutely serving and waiting on her. There was nothing else he could do with regards to her condition. Hallelujah. So there was something working on both sides, with the husband as well as with the wife. Hallelujah. Well, as time went by, the woman finally passed on and went home to be with the Lord. And the husband had determined to have a small service for her. They did not know a lot of people because they never got out too much. And only people that were aware of what her condition was or who she was were those that were round about her. Hallelujah. So they planned a little funeral and they put the word out. And on the day of the funeral, people begin to file or come into the cemetery, to the graveyard. And the people just kept coming and coming until there was a multitude of people. And all of them were holding little slips of paper. Hallelujah. She wasn't aware of what it was God was doing in the midst of her affliction. She wasn't aware of the word that was going out and touching hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, oftentimes, we diminish the power of God in our circumstances. I'm not telling you not to pray for healing. I'm not telling you that. I believe that God heals. I have seen God heal over and over and over again. But there's something of a lesson. There's something of a reality that you and I have to find in the midst of our tribulation. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, then tribulation is an ingredient. It's an important ingredient. Hallelujah. I know that when they make bread in the States, there is an ingredient called yeast, right? Huh? It's a very small thing, but it's a very important thing. Because without the yeast, the bread will not do what it's supposed to do. And what the bread is supposed to do is to rise. And so the element of the yeast is something that is required in the making of the bread. The Bible says that you and I enter into the kingdom of God, hallelujah, through much tribulation. Tribulation is trouble. It comes in the form of relationships. Let me tell you another little story. Hallelujah. There was a woman in Jamaica. She was not a big woman. She was small in stature. She was kind of frail in her appearance. Not weak, just kind of frail. Yes, not bulky or heavy. It's just kind of petite and small. Hallelujah. And she loved the Lord. But her husband was a brute.
What?
A brute. A beast. He would physically abuse her. He would mentally abuse her. He would verbally abuse her. Hallelujah. But those things, because of God's grace, I'm sure, did not stop her from serving God and serving Him. Hello. Praise the Lord. Her situation, I suppose, physically, not necessarily in actuality of living, but environmentally, could be compared to your environment out here. Jamaica is much like this environment. In fact, when I first came here the first time, I thought I was in Jamaica. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And every morning, Sunday morning, she would get up, she would fix his tea, cook his breakfast, put it on the table for him, get herself ready to go to church. And then she would come and she would stand and wait for his permission for her to go. Hallelujah. Sometimes he would say yes, sometimes he would say no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day in particular, before I go, in all the time, she is praying for his conversion. Hallelujah. Praying faithfully. Hallelujah. Ardently. And with passion, that God would save her husband. Hallelujah. Because in some way or another, I don't know how, God had put a love in her heart for the husband in spite of the way the husband was treating her. You know, I have to marvel at you women. I do. Marvel. I have to wonder the depths of love that is in your heart. I believe it is something that God gave you. I think it was something that God gave you in the very beginning. Hallelujah. One particular morning, she got up and began to go about the business, getting ready for church and getting her husband taken care of. And he must have had an unusually rough night, I don't know. But when she came out to serve him and to get his permission to go to church, he hauled off and hit her. And hit her hard. And she went down like a pole tree. I mean, like a cut tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why hallelujah? You know, she's on the ground.
She's on the ground. But we believe in resurrection. The little woman got up on her hands and knees and standing up, took the corner of her dress, wiped the blood off of her mouth, turned around and began to serve him. The man broke down like a baby. Do you hear me? He broke down, fell to his knees and wept like a baby. Hallelujah. He got saved. Not only did he get saved, but he got on fire for God. Hallelujah. What if the woman would have left the situation? Now, not every situation is the same. She wasn't being motivated by self-interest. She was listening to God. And God used her weakness. God used her foolishness. You know, had I been there, I would have told the woman, you cannot live under those conditions. You cannot stay in that environment. That's what I would have told her. Hallelujah. And then I would have had to repent. Hallelujah. God wants you to understand how God works. Hallelujah. Tribulation is the power that of Satan that is exerted against you to keep you from growing in God. Tribulation is the power of Satan to stop you from growing. To stop you from growing up into God. He figures if you get tribulated enough, you will throw in the towel. You'll quit. Amen. You'll give up. Or you will go another direction. Hallelujah. And he has every right to think that way. Because humanity as a whole, or let me say, even as a corporate body of people, have not demonstrated anything else. Hallelujah. We have been told that we have to remain in this state of fragility and weakness in an attitude of defeat and failure till one day Jesus comes and takes us all out of it. Hallelujah. That is not the plan. That is not the purpose. That is not in the heart of God. What is in the heart of God is that we achieve the objective that He had purposed from the very beginning. And the purpose from the very beginning is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God wanted to make man in His own image and in His own likeness. There is nothing about the image or the likeness of God that speaks defeat or failure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we have to understand the concept. Hallelujah. So God put a plan in the Bible. And that plan He called the Tabernacle of Moses. But you could better call it the blueprint of God. Hallelujah. Because it is a detailed list of instructions of how God is going to achieve His objective of bringing man into His likeness. Now, when you think about the image of God, I don't know how you equate to it. Because it says they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So, God is a spirit. And I don't know that God has any one aspect or definite form, because God appears in many different forms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the road to Emmaus, He was a stranger talking to the disciples who had spent 3.5 years with Him, and they didn't know Him. In the garden, He came to Mary and the other ladies, hallelujah, as a gardener. They had spent a great deal of time in His presence, waiting on him, ministering to him, and yet they did not know him. It likens God as unto the eagle.
Eagle.
Yes. So do that mean that God has wings and a beak and claws? No. It's just indicative of an aspect of his nature. Hallelujah. It is indicative of a characteristic of his nature. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But one thing that we do know about God is that God is... Huh? He is God, the Father, right? He is God, the Son. Hallelujah. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Three different aspects of God, and yet the Bible talks about them as distinct entities or personalities. Hallelujah. Huh? Isn't that right? Do you agree with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is my theology sound? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus often referred to the Father. But he also referred to himself as the Son of the Father. And his designation of his position of Son was always a position of service and servitude to the Father. Isn't that not true? He says, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. So in actuality, the Father was doing something and the Son was seeing it. Hallelujah. And imitating or copying it. Hello? Right? Praise the Lord. Another place he was saying, I say nothing. I say nothing. That I do not hear my Father saying. So in some way, the Father was speaking to the Son, and the Son was hearing what the Father was saying. Then, later on in the book, in John chapter 14, hallelujah, hallelujah, in John chapter 14, it says that the Son said, I must go. It's expedient for me to go. For when I am gone, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the triuneness of God. Hallelujah. And you know, it is really not so difficult to understand. If you can equate it to you as an individual. In my particular situation, hallelujah, I am a man, masculine, hallelujah, an entity of form that you can see, that you can sense, hallelujah, but I am also a father, hallelujah, I am also a son, and my father is different from my position or my capacity of being a son. Hallelujah. All of them independent and working together. Hallelujah. To bring forth the manifestation of what is me. Praise the Lord. But it goes a little bit further than that. The way that God created us in His image was that He created us spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You are a triune being. You are in three parts. Hallelujah. Paul said in one of his Gospels, that he wanted to present you and I blameless spirit, soul, body. Hallelujah. So there is a work that God has to do in the three realms of your entity that answers to whatever name that you have been given. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, these don't necessarily correlate. Doesn't necessarily. I just did it that way because of the room. It doesn't correlate, necessarily correlate. Hallelujah. But what does correlate is that the tabernacle deals with the work that God is going to do concerning the redemption of man. God is not really interested in just getting you into heaven. What God really wants to do is to change you. Hallelujah. He wants to change you in such a way and in such a form, in such a manner that you become an entirely different person. Oh, hallelujah. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Huh? Praise the Lord. Everything about you and about me, when I say you, I'm including me. Praise the Lord. Is trying to convince us that what God wants to do is impossible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is impossible. John chapter 3. Nicodemus was coming. You thought I forgot it, didn't you? Nicodemus was coming to Jesus Christ at night. He wanted to know the truth, you know, but he didn't want to be seen wanting to know it. Hallelujah. And you know, there's something familiar in that situation concerning that set of circumstances and the word that we're bringing. Hallelujah. Many people want to hear it. They want to know about it. But they want to be sure that not too many people know that they're hearing and listening. Hallelujah. So Nicodemus was coming. He was coming to Jesus at night and inquiring of him, hallelujah, how and what this thing was that Jesus was teaching. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, verse 5, hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm going to go back up. Yes. All right, verse 3. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. So it means that prior to being born again, you and I are blind. Not only are we blind, but we're blind to the reality of the salvation of God. We think that the world we live in is a totality of reality. Hallelujah. You know, there are many people that came to me and talked to me about heaven. And I would just laugh at them, or scoff at them, ridicule them. Hallelujah. Ridicule. Hallelujah. Because I could not see. Hallelujah. I could not perceive it. I couldn't sense it. Hallelujah. But one day that all changed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it was that when you are born again, you are born out of something into something else. Hallelujah. But unlike many of us who think that being born again is a guarantee that we are going to get into God or into heaven, we are mistaken. It is not a guarantee. It is a tool. It's an experience that is a tool. It gives us the ability to enter into the process of salvation. Hallelujah. Being born again is very much like a woman who conceives. Hallelujah. We will say the woman is pregnant. She is with child. But the baby is not a fact yet. It's not a reality. Now, to the woman, it may be a reality. But for me, there is no evidence. There is nothing visible. Hallelujah. And the reality of the child is in the birthing of the child. There are many things that can happen to the child. Hallelujah. Along the way, that can create a problem that can not only threaten the life of the mother, but threaten the life of the child. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the reason why the Lord likened your salvation experience, because it is in actuality the same thing as you, as a woman, having conceiving and carrying a child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Let me see. I need my clock.
Okay, well,
he said,
I thought he was saved.
What's that?
I thought I was saved.
Born again.
You are born, when you are born again, when you are born again, you receive salvation. Hallelujah. If you are born again, and 5 minutes after you're born again, you die, you will go to heaven. You will go to be with the Lord. But the process is still a fact for those that of us that are living. There must be a working out of your salvation. As long as you are in the flesh, there has to be a working out of your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you have that verse in your Bible?
Huh?
It says, okay, if you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, why do you have to fear or tremble? Because there is the possibility that someone along the road of salvation, you might rebel against God. Hallelujah. It's your decision to make. All right. Let me go back to the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the road of salvation. Hallelujah. It is a road of salvation. Hallelujah. That travels. Hallelujah. Through the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Through the different stages of our pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. My drawing leaves a lot to be desired, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My drawing, like I said, my drawing leaves a lot to be desired. But the tabernacle is a road map. That takes you through the tabernacle, through the different pieces of furniture, to a goal called the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. There are seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. Each piece of furniture is a work of grace. Look at it as a stage of development. Hallelujah. As a human being, you go through three different stages of development, three major stages of development. You go from the place of being a baby to the place of being an adolescent to the place of being an adult. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three phases of development. And the natural situation of your circumstance is very much like a Bible to tell you what is happening in the spiritual realm. It gives you spiritual principles. Praise the Lord. So, there are three major levels of development. Seven works of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're not experiences. They are levels of maturity. Did you hear me? Baptism should not be just something that you do. Baptism should be a life-changing thing. But in order to change your life, you have to understand what it is that baptism is referring to. Hallelujah. You know, I'm really running out of time, but have you noticed how God always works in threes? Three is the completeness of God. Hallelujah. You have the sun, the moon, the stars. They complete the heavens. If you were to go and look at plants, there are three major components that make up the plant in itself. Hallelujah. So everything that you look at, it is in the is in the quantity of three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That speaks of the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So here we are. This is the brazen altar. Yes. This is the brazen altar. It is indicative of our position, our place of salvation. Hallelujah. It marks the beginning. Did you hear me? It marks the beginning. It is not the beginning, the middle, and the end. It is not the beginning.
It's not the beginning.
It's not the beginning. What did I say?
It is the beginning.
It is the beginning. It's not the middle and the end. Yes. Hallelujah. And there's everything. The thing about this, and I don't know that I can necessarily illustrate it. What did I do? Oh. I don't know that I can really illustrate it. One experience in God. Right? One experience in God overshadows the entirety of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. So it is not as though we are going on and leaving it behind. Hallelujah. It's very much like Joshua when he was told to go into Canaan land, and the first city that he encountered was the city Jericho. Hallelujah. And he was told to march around the city seven times. Seven is the number. Seven is the number of perfection. Now, I don't know. I suppose it might. They have a cardinal number, isn't it? They call it a cardinal number. They call it. Do you have that?
One.
Yes.
One.
Hallelujah. It means perfection. Hallelujah. So we have Joshua marching around the city, and every day he was to march for 7 days. Now remember, there are seven pieces of furniture. Hallelujah. In the tabernacle. And everyone is indicative of a work of grace. He was commanded to blow a trumpet on every day. Now, he didn't just blow one trumpet on day one, another trumpet on day two, another trumpet on day three. What they would do is that they would blow the trumpet on day one, then on day two, the trumpet of day two would join the horn that was blowing for day one. Hallelujah. So that the trumpet was continually blowing. Hallelujah. Let's go over into the New Testament. A work of grace in your life. A working out of your salvation. A work of grace.
Each one has a state for me.
Each mark is a stage for me.
Yes. 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 I could put it to you, and I could put it to you like this. I could put it to you like this. Hallelujah. We'll say that this is heaven. And I'm not referring to heaven as a place that we're going. As much as it is a realm in which we live in. Hallelujah. And down here we have the world. Hallelujah. And it's the same as sin and death. Hallelujah. And God gives us this plan. This plan is like, if you look at it like this, You have outer court. You have holy place. You have the holy of holies. Each step of furniture lifts us up so that we might get higher and higher into God. Each of them a work of grace. A work of grace that brings maturity. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, what God wanted in the beginning was a son.
Was a son.
The New Testament makes it very clear that God wanted a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God wants a son, and so He has devised a plan by which we might achieve sonship. Praise the Lord. So very much like the trumpets of Jericho, the trumpets that Joshua was blowing, each of them indicative of a work of God. And let me give you just a little thing here. You can write down a note if you want to. If you will go into the Bible and begin to study that first encounter of Joshua as he was coming against the city of Jericho, you will find in that story many things that are pertinent to you as a new Christian coming into a relationship with God. One of the things that was so very visible and so very formidable was the walls that were around Jericho. And the walls that were around Jericho, that the Jerichoans, the people of Jericho, I don't even know if it's a word, but you know how that is. Hallelujah. Were so smug and sure they were impenetrable. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that remind you of us in the beginning? We are born in sin. We live in an environment of sin. We are brought up in sin, and the sin that is around us and in us, it seems impossible to breach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's something else here. The horns. Now, a horn makes a musical note. But the horn also sends out a message. In the army, when they wanted us to come together, they blew a horn. When it was time to eat, they blew a horn. When it was time to go to bed, they blew a horn. So the sounding of the horn would say, come and eat. You wouldn't hear the notes. You would hear the sound, come and eat. When they would blow the horn, it would say, it's time to go to bed. Hallelujah. And so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God are not just words written on the paper. They're not just a book between two covers. Hallelujah. That is called the Bible. They are messages. They are words that are coming from God. And the word that comes from God has the power to change you, change your environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And give you victory over sin. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Excuse me, sir. I have noticed that here is in the process of the salvation.
Could you wait? Can you wait just for one moment? One moment. I have a word for this sister right here.
Amen.
Amen. One moment. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to encourage you, dear. Wants to touch you. He knows what your circumstances are. Knows the difficulties that are in and around you. But He wants to encourage you this morning. He wants you to know that the prayers, the intercession, the tears, and all of the position, the place of suffering has not been for naught. It has not gone unnoticed as far as God is concerned. And that He is working to bring a resolution to your set of circumstances. And He is encouraging you to hold fast. Praise the Lord. And if it's of any encouragement to you, He sent me all this way just to tell you to be encouraged. Hallelujah. And that God is on the job. He's doing what needs to be done, though the eye does not see it or the ear hear it. And oftentimes you find yourself in a place of desperation and despair. God is bringing deliverance. Hallelujah. So hang on to the hem of His garment. In the same way that the woman pressed through the throng of crowd around that was around Jesus to grab hold of the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. And when she did, virtue flowed out of Him unto her, and she was healed. Hallelujah. So be encouraged in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, sir.
Because you spoke of the fellowship.
Yes?
I'm translating for them.
Fellowship. To be able to achieve that, we have to pass, if I have understood correctly, we have to pass through these stages, seven stages. Is that, am I understanding?
Yes, you're understanding.
Okay.
What's that?
At the last level, at the last stage, we presume that we have achieved salvation.
No. You have salvation. You have life. Let me do it this way. You have life. When you receive God as your personal Savior, you receive the life of God. You are alive. You have been there. Let's put it. Let's say you have. There has been conception. You are alive. Hallelujah. But you still. You are alive. But you are still.
You're just a baby.
You're still in the seed form. Yes? Embryonic stage. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's an embryonic stage, but you are alive. That's why I said that if you were to die 5 minutes after you received the Lord, you would get to be with the Lord. You would go to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But there's maybe this, maybe I shouldn't say this, it just kind of opens another field. In the New Testament, it talks about the saints of God that have gone on before us. You want to find that scripture for me?
Hebrews.
Yes, it's in Hebrews. And what it says, what it says about them is that they are learning.
We are compassed about. Hebrews 12:1.
Hebrews 12. Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. This says, hallelujah. And this, I probably should have gave you this verse anyway, but it's a time frame. Hebrews 12:1. It's, seeing therefore we are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses. Well, I tell you what, let's go up a couple of verses before that chapter. Let's go up to 39 in verse chapter 11. So we get the context. And these, the ones, the saints that have gone before, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Did you hear that? They received not the promise. Let it suffice it to say they have not yet received the totality the totality of what has been promised to them in God. Okay? It says they have not yet received the promise, having provided some better thing for us, that they, the saints that have gone on before, should not be made perfect
without
us. Yes, that's the us. You and I that are still here in this land, in this earth, they cannot be made perfect. Because it says, verse number 1, chapter 12, therefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who was the author, hallelujah, and who was the finisher, hallelujah, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
The crowd of witnesses represent those who died.
Yes.
Before becoming in Jesus.
Yes.
Before they are born again.
No, they're born again.
If you look at Hebrews 11, yes. It talks about Abraham, all the same.
Okay, those same.
That, yeah.
But in those days, Jesus was not born then.
Well, yes, but it says that Jesus went into captivity and led captivity free.
Abraham, Isaac,
all of those who believed in God.
Yeah. Who received the promise, but not.
They received the blood and they came out with Christ. Amen.
Acts 14:22.
Now which one is that?
That is talking about where
Acts 14.
22.
Uh-huh.
And Philippians 2:12 talks about too much tribulation.
Oh yeah. Okay. Acts 14:22. And what was the other one?
And Philippians 2:12.
Philippians.
It's talking about working out your own salvation.
Philippians 2:12 talks about working out your salvation. Hallelujah.
Do you want me to read them?
Yes, you can.
ወደ እግዚአብሔር መንግስት በብዙ መከራ እንገባ ዘንድ ያስፈልገናል የሚለው ነው። ፊልጵስዩስ ምዕራፍ 2 ስለዚህ ወዳጆች ሁልጊዜ እንደታዘዛችሁ በእናንተ ዘንድ በመኖሬ ብቻ ሳይሆን ይልቁን አሁን ስርክ በፍርሃት እና በመንቀጥቀጥ የራሳችሁን መዳን
ተገልጿል። I hope you got it because I forgot to turn my knob.
መዳን
Amen. Let me add two more verses.
Okay. Amen.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In other words, you didn't get all of your salvation when you first believed. It's a process, and now it is nearer. There's another little verse in 1 Peter 1:5. If we can find 1 Peter 1:5. And First Peter 1:5, it says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
በመጨረሻው ዘመን ይገለጽ ዘንድ ለተዘጋጀ መዳን በእምነት በእግዚአብሔር ኃይል ለተጠበቃችሁ ይላል።
And maybe later I will give you a verse out of Revelation. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.